Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
And from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of the Lord. I've always been drawn to the underdogs, the people that most people overlook. You go to a party and there are always the bright lights shining and the people with great personalities, and invariably there's someone or a couple of folks who just kind of hang out on the side and they don't talk much and they're overlooked and they're just not the life of the party. And I've always been drawn to the underdogs. Well, here in our scripture text, we have an underdog of sorts. I've really not paid much attention to Simeon in past years, but this year I found myself drawn to Simeon. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Simeon. We're not told his age, but verses 26 and 29 seem to imply that he was an older man. I was reading this past week about some Christians in Africa. And a mission board here in the United States had been sending a lot of youngsters to Africa. And they were full of zeal and full of energy, but their theology just wasn't real good. And what they were teaching was just not real biblically sound. And so the African Christians wrote a letter to the mission board here in America. They said, "Please send us some gray hairs." They wanted the older missionaries. There's nothing wrong with youth and zeal, but there's no substitute for the wisdom and the experience of the gray hairs, the older saints. Simeon was one of these older folks. And there's some things we can learn from Simeon, this gray hair. As you look at our text of Scripture, the first thing that I see and I learn from Simeon is that God always has a believing people in the darkest of times. Now, in the time that Simeon was here in Jerusalem, right during the time of the birth of Jesus, times were really dark. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had loaded down the Jewish people with all kinds of man-made rules and regulations. In addition to the 613 commandments of the Old Testament, you had thousands of man-made traditions, legalism. And the poor folks were just weighed down by all of these rules and regulations. Times were dark. Religious legalism was running rampant. And the doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees were keeping people in bondage. Yet even in the midst of these times, there was in Jerusalem a devout and righteous man, a gray hair, by the name of Simeon. You see, God never leaves his people without a witness. God has his Simeons in the darkest of times and places. You may remember from your Bible readings that God had a Lot in Sodom. God had his prophet Jeremiah in Zedekiah's court. God had his Daniel in Babylon. God always has a remnant people. Long ago, the prophet Elijah thought he was the only one, and God said, no, no, no. I have 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. God always has a remnant. And what this speaks to me is that in the world of moral and spiritual darkness in which we live, my friend, you be that Simeon. You be that bright light in the midst of a world that's not shining very brightly at this time. You be that remnant person. God always has a remnant. Well, secondly, our scripture says that Simeon was righteous and devout. Reminds me of Abraham long ago. The Bible says about Abraham that he believed the Lord, and God credited to him as righteousness. Simeon was a righteous man. He was looking forward to the coming of Christ. We look backward to Christ and to his advent long ago. Simeon and the saints of old were looking forward. And this man was upright and devout. You be that upright, that devout man or woman or young person in the midst of a world that is far from being morally and spiritually upright. Simeon, we are told, third, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was a patient man. I don't know about you, I don't like to wait. I get in a line at Walmart or Publix, and I'm always looking for the shortcut. I am not a patient person by nature, but I know this, in the kingdom, in the realm of God's kingdom, good things do come to those who wait. Simeon had been waiting a long, long time. God's people had been waiting a long, long time. And the Messiah, at just the right time, in God's Kairos time, came into the world. He could have come at any other time, but the Bible says, in the fullness of time, at God's appointed time, he sent forth his Son, born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. God's timing is always right on time. I learned long ago that anytime I prayed, that there are always three answers. There are always one of three answers to prayers. God may answer your prayer with a yes. He may answer with a no. But frequently I found that his answer is not just yet. Not yet. Simeon waited for God's timing. And God was right on time. And the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. And Jesus finds his way to Jerusalem, and we're going to read a little bit more about that. The fourth thing about Simeon, you will note from our text, several times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in connection to old Simeon. We are told that the Spirit was on him. The Spirit of God was upon Simeon. You see, this is before Pentecost. When Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit descended, since that time, the Holy Spirit lives in us and he will never leave us. But long ago, the Holy Spirit would come on people and leave them. He would come on them and leave them. Simeon experienced the uponness of God's Spirit. And he was able to prophesy and do some remarkable things because of the Holy Spirit's ministry. My friend, you can rest assured that under this dispensation, the Holy Spirit's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He does not come and go, come and go, come and go. He lives inside of us, Christ in us, through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells all of God's people. Now let me say loudly and clearly, there's a difference between the uponness of the Spirit and the indwelling Spirit. What is the Spirit of God doing inside God's people? He's producing fruit. He's producing godly character. The ninefold fruit of the Spirit The Holy Spirit producing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's the inward work of the Holy Spirit. And every Christian has been indwelt by God's Spirit. And we can hinder or help in the production of that fruit. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to have His way, as we live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is producing that beautiful fruit in God's people. But there's more. There is the uponness of God's Spirit. When He comes upon us to empower us to do the work of the Lord. Jesus, at His baptism, was fully God and fully man. But up to the point of the Holy Spirit coming upon Him in the Jordan River at that baptism, He had done no miracles. He had done no power ministry. But when He was baptized by John in the Jordan River, the Spirit of God came down upon Him, and He was launched into His ministry, and He moved powerfully, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing wonderful, good and glorious deeds in the power of God's Spirit. And in Simeon's case, the Spirit of God came upon him, and Simeon responded by going into the temple to praise the Lord and to prophesy. But before looking at what he said, look at verse 28. I'd never really considered this before. We're told that Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms. Now stop and think about that. Simeon held God in his arms. That's amazing. The very Creator who created Simeon is now resting in the arms of this old man. What a beautiful sight. But you know, it's even more marvelous than that. None of us holds God in our arms, but we hold God in our hearts. When we were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence, and He dwells within the manger of our hearts. He lives inside of us. Simeon held God in his arms. We now hold God in our hearts. What else is there that we can learn from Simeon? He was a man of praise. He praised God that salvation in the form of Messiah had come. He was a person of praise. And we who have been changed forever by the wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, how can we not praise the Lord? It's been said you can praise the Lord too little, but you can never, ever praise Him too much. God has done great things for us, my brothers and sisters, and He's worthy of praise in the morning, at noontime, in the evening, upon our beds, in our vehicles, at work, at school, here in the church house. He's worthy of praise. And Simeon praised the Lord, for salvation had come. What else about this man can we learn? Well, we're told that he blessed Joseph and Mary. It's easy to pass over that. He blessed them. Sometimes we limit the blessing to a sneeze. Somebody sneezes, and our habit, our response is, God bless you, and that's fine and wonderful. But blessing is more than that. Blessing is to invoke divine favor. When we say, God bless you, we are invoking the favor of Almighty God upon a person. And what Simeon is doing here to Mary and Joseph, he is invoking the favor of God when he blessed them. Next time you tell somebody, God bless you, remember that you are invoking divine favor. You are calling down favor from heaven and inviting and invoking that favor upon a person. We also learn that Simeon was a man of prophecy. He prophesied some powerful things here. Notice what he prophesied. He said Jesus was destined to cause people to rise and to fall. What's that all about? Those who embrace Messiah by faith would receive salvation and they would rise. Those who rejected Messiah would not receive salvation and they would fall. But then Simeon said something. He prophesied something that really stands out to me. He speaks of the thoughts of many hearts being revealed. You see, one of the aspects of the ministry of Christ is that he will reveal hearts. He came into the world and hearts were laid bare before God and others. Jesus will reveal our hearts. Jesus said that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what kind of heart somebody has? Listen to their words. Listen to their words and you know what kind of heart they've got. Person who speaks encouraging words has a heart that longs to encourage. A person who speaks joy-filled, happy, upbeat words has a heart that's full of joy. Person who speaks words that aren't exactly joy-filled and, well, you know what kind of heart they've got. You want to know a heart? Listen to the words. For Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth doth speak. And Simeon said that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed with the coming of Messiah. And he had come, and hearts were soon to be revealed. There's so much more about this Simeon, and I like to think of him as a gray hair. I like to think of him as a man of great wisdom. And I want to speak to you gray hairs this morning. We've got one or two of you here. I'm one of them. You know, God's not done with us. God's still got work for us. He's got a lot of work for you young people. You've got the zeal and the energy. Oh, my goodness, we moved a household yesterday. Spent 8 hours moving things from one house to another. And I'm not 25 anymore. And my body's sure feeling it. And some of you older folks who help move, you know what I'm talking about. A little hard to get out of bed this morning. I asked some of our young people who help move, are you stiff and sore? Oh, no, feel great. God bless our youngsters. But God bless the gray hairs. God bless the Simeons and the Annas, you older saints. God is still working through you, and he's not done with you. You're still here, and that means God's not done with you yet. There's work for all of us in the kingdom of God. And there's much to learn from Simeon here in God's word. So let me encourage you to be a Simeon in this time of moral and spiritual darkness. Let me encourage you, whoever you are, to live a righteous and devout life. Let me encourage you to wait patiently for the Lord, to not rush ahead of God and not lag behind him, but to keep in step with the Spirit. God's timing is always perfect. Some of you are in a season right now of waiting and wondering where God is and what is God up to. God's not forgotten you, but he is arranging circumstances. God's timing is perfect. Learn from Simeon. And let us all learn about the importance of the Holy Spirit's work in us and upon us to do the work of Christ. Be that person of praise and be a person of blessing. There's so much to learn from Simeon. And now I know why those African Christians were saying, send us some gray hairs, for we've much to learn from the older saints. You be a Simeon. And let's thank God for the Simeons and the Annas in the kingdom of God. God bless you during this Christmas season. And may you be blessed indeed, and may you seek to follow in the footsteps of Simeon of old as you live that righteous and devout life, waiting for God and what he's about to do in your life and in the life of this church. The good things are coming. God is up to something. Let us pray to the Lord and give him thanks and praise today. Father, we do thank you for Simeon of old, for the lessons of his life. I thank you for the wisdom and the life experience of the older saints in the kingdom of God. May we learn from them. And Lord, may we be people of praise. May we be people of the Holy Spirit. May we be people who look to Jesus. May we be people of blessing. May we live as points of light in a sin-darkened world, as we shine for Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
And now, here are some highlights from another recent message from Dr. Luckey.
The reading from God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was reminded of an old saying I learned as a youngster. If something is too good to be true, it probably is, right? There are many things in life that sound too good to be true, and many times they end up being false. But in our New Testament reading, there's some great news that not only sounds good, but it is absolutely true. It's the best news you'll ever hear. God has done something so incredible that from a human point of view, it hardly seems true at all. It sounds ridiculous. It makes no sense. And what God did was lay all of your sins and mine upon his Son, who hung upon Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. God laid our sins upon Jesus, and then in a marvelous exchange, our sins go to Christ on the cross, and his righteousness comes to us. Let me say that again. Our sins for his righteousness. Does that sound too good to be true? It sure sounds good, and it sure is true. Stay with me this morning. Martin Luther, long ago, the great reformer, put it this way. He encouraged Christians to pray this prayer. He said, "Thou hast taken upon thyself, Lord, what is mine, and hast given to me what is thine. Thou hast taken upon thyself what thou wast not, and hast given to me what I was not." Isn't that something? The Lord Jesus took what is ours, and he gave us what is his. That's the greatest deal you'll ever find. And it's all free. But it costs somebody a great, great price. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Paul the Apostle says, God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. I once heard a well-known Bible commentator say that verse 21 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians is the most profound sentence in the entire Bible. Think about what it's saying. But before Paul sounds that glorious note in verse 21, five times he uses the word reconciliation in the preceding verses. What is reconciliation? It's the restoration between persons who have been separated, who've been estranged from one another. In our case, we've been separated or estranged from God because of our sin. By nature, we're separated from God. There's a prevailing belief in the world today that people are basically good. But that's a lie. The Bible says we're not intrinsically and basically good. We're basically bad. We're very bad. We are full of sin. People are not good by nature. We have a problem that's part of our DNA. It's in our bloodstream. The Puritans had a saying long ago, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. When Adam and Eve were placed in that Garden of Eden long, long ago, Adam was the federal head of the human race. He represented all of us. And so when he fell into sin, we fell with him. And as a result, all human beings are sinners by nature and by choice. You say, where does the Bible teach that? All over the place. In the Psalms, Psalm 51 verse 5 and Psalm 58 verse 3, we are told that even in our mama's womb, even in our mother's belly, we are sin. We were conceived in sin. We are sinful even in our mother's wombs. Jeremiah the prophet said in chapter 17 verse 9 that the human heart is desperately wicked. By nature, our hearts are wicked and impure. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. You and me, white, black, Republican, Democrat, American, Chinese, it doesn't matter. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Ephesians 2:1-3 is the clincher for me. It says that we are by nature objects of God's wrath. By our very nature, because we are sin fallen and we are dead in trespasses and sin. God made Jesus to be sin for us. God did that because we never could. Somebody has described the Bible in 9 words. I like this definition. God formed us. Sin deformed us. Christ transformed us. But it is wholly of your grace. And so, God, may you draw people to yourself today. Draw people to the cross, to Christ. Perhaps for the first time this morning. Perhaps some of us need to return to the cross and look upward and rededicate and recommit our lives to our glorious Savior. We thank you for this sacred time and this sacred place and for what you've accomplished through Jesus Christ on our behalf, even as we say, Amen.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
Listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.